Okay, we're back. So he then says, so what? Why didn't you go to Harvard? And then he makes it very clear. And I said, I have to tell you, I'm having a problem with this. This is a new form of prejudice that I haven't yet been exposed to. Some people, you know, will just frankly tell you that they don't like something, and others will hide it forever. I said, you have some sort of an academic bias and snobbery, and you prejudice against me for that, and then you deny it. Now you're telling me you don't deny it anymore. I don't understand this. So then he goes, well, why didn't you go to Harvard? You should have gone to Harvard. I just have someone in my department that got his degree from the University of North Dakota. I don't understand why he did that. I said, so you have a problem with the University of North Dakota, too? I said, you hired him. That's the point. You hired the guy. Obviously, you think he's well-trained. He's published good stuff. He's going to do well. I said, so why do you care where they got their training? Well, he was frantically, he was flying all over his office, and then he told me that he thought that I was overly aggressive and that I should not have done that, and then he wished me all the luck in the world, and my pursuit of a job, etc., and showed me the door, said that, I mean, it was the last 10 minutes, yeah. Yeah. But he was so uncomfortable, and I just felt that it had to be let out in the open, mm-hmm. that it's wrong mm-hmm. to judge somebody just to based upon where their degree comes from, for better or worse. Mm-hmm. You don't assume that because someone went somewhere that it's going to be that they're good or that they're bad or overqualified mm-hmm. or underqualified. Mm-hmm. And that irritated me a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's a time when it came up. And then the other time, around the same time period and kind of over the same issue, other postdocs in the lab, people that I thought were my friends, many of whom had gone to prestigious either Ivy League or mm-hmm. or near Ivy League type schools, during their postdoc period, for whatever reason, didn't excel, and they weren't being offered jobs everywhere they went, and some of them weren't being offered jobs anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they were getting a chip on their shoulder. And what happened was, as I said, every time I came back from another trip to New York, I had another job offer. And Lodish was getting so excited about it mm-hmm. that he didn't make it secret. He mm-hmm. would come running down the hallway and want to know, what did you get this time? Mm-hmm. And then he would brag about it. Yeah. That's Harvey's way. Mm-hmm. And other postdocs in the lab, like I say, ones that I thought were my friends, it became pretty clear who was and who wasn't really my friend. Mm-hmm. You know, who were the ones that were in it for the long haul? Those that were happy for me showed it, and then others frankly said, you went to Queens College. Mm. Obviously, the only reason you're getting all these job offers is that nobody wants to work in New York. Ooh. And so they're desperate. That's why you can get a job offer anywhere. Anyone could get job offers in New York. And I just looked, and I was so I couldn't even answer. Mm. I was so stunned because of the mouths that it was coming out of were people that I thought were friends. And And then I started thinking back that they were the same ones that, when I first came to the lab, had said to me, "What fellowship do you have?" And I had a Jane Coffin Giles Fellowship, which I didn't realize. I was so naive. I didn't even realize that it was a very special, select group of people that get this. And one of them turned and said, "Oh, well, I have a Helen Hay Whitney. And, you know, all my friends have either Jane Coffin Giles or Helen Hay Whitney. Isn't that remarkable?" To me, I didn't even know. I was on another planet. I didn't know, one, that any of them were so special. I just knew that my salary was low. And I had a job that I had to do. I needed, and I wanted within 2 years to have my dog and pony show ready to go on the road so I could get whatever job I wanted back in New York. And it didn't click at the time that some people were judging me based upon what fellowship I had. But they were the ones that made those cracks. And so it became clear that they didn't verbalize it flat out. But when I got the jobs later, not that they acknowledged what I had accomplished in the 2 years and the papers and the cloning and what it would mean in the long run. It was more an issue about them. Who had gone to Duke and Wash U and Yale and UC San Diego and felt that they had lineage and that they deserved it and didn't get. And I didn't have lineage. So that was when the City University issue was made an issue. So because of that, I would not take a job at Cornell. I felt that this person, if he could influence the chair of the department that I would be going to and that they were making him dean, that he would always feel that way about me. And then, because I had obviously pushed the panic button with him, then he would probably never forgive me for it. Unless, of course, I rose to a point higher than him and he would have no choice but to forgive me. And I didn't wish to have to endure such a thing. And then the other was within the lab. And that hurt more. I didn't give a 2 cents about what that guy over at Cornell thought about me. But I did care about what, you know, these other people that I thought were my friends. How superficial people can be.
Well, it probably helped that you had a few other job offers under your belt, so you didn't really need
any. I wasn't desperate. I wasn't desperate, and that was why I pursued it so much. But I think it was because of initially being in the room with Harvey with that speakerphone on, and the subject coming up, and to me being so foreign. And of course I came back and I told Harvey what I did. And he goes running home, tells his wife. Pam knew my personality. She knew what I was going to do. Harvey couldn't believe what I did. And that he said, "You have chutzpah. Good for you. But boy, you're going to live to regret that." He goes, "Don't do that frequently." Actually, the chairman of the physiology department at Cornell wanted me even more. Because of that. Because, you know, after that happened, of course, my blood pressure would not go down after that. The whole rest of the day, I was shot. I was like, you know, sore red. Several of the women on the staff there, they said that this particular guy had not supported women in his department for promotion and for tenure, that most of the junior faculty hated him. So, obviously, you know, he's an irritant. mm-hmm. there. And now he has fallen from his power and he's stuffed in some corner somewhere and blah, blah, blah. But he at the had gone actually from downstate medical school mm-hmm. to Cornell. And downstate, as far as research was concerned, had lost its momentum and was just having a resurgence. So, of course, right before I walked out, you know, he turns and he says, I was at downstate for years. Why would I think it bad that you would be have gone to City University? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, but isn't it a coincidence that now that you're not at downstate, they're having a resurgence?
Oh.
And then I realized, oh, God, I can't believe that I've said that. But, you know, when you were at downstate, it was at its lowest. And now that you're not there, they're picking back up. I had a job offer at Downstate. And I was entertaining it because it did seem like they were revitalizing the place. But this guy really, really upset me.
Mm-hmm.
But and what he did, actually, he was going to a meeting of chairs
mm-hmm.
right after that
mm-hmm.
meeting he had with me. He went in and he nearly choked the chair of physiology because he knew that he had to have been the one that told
sure.
me. So by the end of the day, when I made it back to the chair of physiology and the guy is, you know, trying to seal the deal, and he's acting like he doesn't know this happened, so I figured he doesn't know. I better tell him. Right? He's going to find out sooner or later. This guy's going to tell. So I better that it comes from me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to seem like I'm hiding anything. So I tell the guy, I think you got to know something. I kind of had a little, and I was trying to think of the diplomatic way of putting what had transpired between me and this guy. And this guy was from Austria, and he goes, running with Dr. So-and-so. I guess you could call it that. Is what I said. So he said, oh, he cornered me right after you left his office, and I have to say that I admire you for your... you know, your persistence in, you know, dealing with him and your honesty and openness in dealing with him. But I have to tell you that if you come here, it is not a good idea for you to press that guy's buttons too many times. And I told him that I had to go back and think about it. And I said to myself, he's a smart man. He has to realize, I cannot take a job there. No. He kept pushing. He wanted me. So I just made my list of request items double. I said, well, now that I'm not going to interact with that guy at all, now I require this and this and this and this and this, and that pushed the list to like infinity. He was agreeing to all of it. In the end, I just had to tell him that I couldn't. I just couldn't see that it wouldn't affect my career path there. I felt that if it initially mm-hmm. caused him to question it, that man had enough power over him that he could influence mm-hmm. me. And I was not comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also told him that I thought that at Einstein, since they already have a diabetes center and Cornell didn't, that was a plus that was never going to change,
mm-hmm.
Or at least not quickly going to change. I told him I thought that the student pool was better here than there, and that Einstein was going to give me help with a down payment on a house. And Cornell was just going to put me on a waiting list for a small apartment
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. in Manhattan, and I've never lived in an apartment building and wasn't looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him that those also contributed to my decision. But it was true. They did contribute to the decision, but oof, that whole episode just rubbed me the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was where my Queens College education seemed to have come up in a way that I wouldn't have expected, in a negative way,
mm-hmm.
and was perceived as being a liability.
Mm-hmm.
And it was both at the time when I was looking for independent mm-hmm. jobs, and would never have thought that it should have come up
mm-hmm.
then, and did.
Well, how about if we break for today, and
okay.
then we'll pick up again tomorrow.